It was a few years ago since I was last here, and things have changed. I have to say, you're looking good. You're looking good. You should be like, hey, come on. Come on, pick your church up. Who's not ashamed of their church? Come on, who's not ashamed of their church? Put your hand up if you're not ashamed of your church. Come on. Don't be ashamed of your church, because if you're ashamed of your church, you're ashamed of yourself. Because who's the church? It's you. This building isn't a church. It's a great thing. It's got a nice organ at the back there. I'm not sure when it was last used. But you know, you're the church. If you can't be excited about yourself, who else is going to be? Yeah? Big yourselves up. In the right way. Not in an arrogant way. Don't walk around there looking at us, we're the best thing ever. I'm not talking about that sort of arrogance. I'm saying be proud to be the church. When you come together, you're the church. And when the church comes together, who knows what could happen out there? It's true, isn't it? Do you believe it?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're awake this morning. It's really awesome. It's really awesome. Yeah, I lead a church in Tameside in Manchester. Does anyone know Manchester that well? Yeah, do you know Ashton? That sort of area. Sort of the other side of Manchester for me, really. So it's a bit of a trek. We've got a good-sized church. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's growing, which is a good thing. If your church is growing, you were telling me earlier, the church has grown a bit. And like I say, it looks like it's grown a bit. So sometimes I think when you're not in the church, when you're in something for a while, you kind of get that syndrome where you can't see the wood through the trees anymore. You know what I'm saying? And you sort of, someone comes in and goes, look, you're growing. You're doing good. And our church has been growing. It's good, isn't it? Church should be growing. If it's declining, there's a problem. There's a problem. And of course, with all growing churches, there's always problems, right? Yeah? But I tell you, what I always say to our church is this. I'd rather have a church with problems than a dead one that's dead quiet.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Because
yeah.
If it's got problems, there's life going on in the church. And where there's life, you can resurrect something. If it's dead, you might as well give up. Yeah? If you've ever seen something dead, you'll know. There's no point in trying to give it a kick, electric shock, or anything else. It's not going anywhere. It's dead. Churches are amazing, right? Church is good, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. We're awake. Now, I always start Sundays with a bad joke. Do you want a bad joke?
Yeah.
Here is a bad joke for you. There's a church down the road. It's a big old Anglican thing. It's got bells and smells and all the things that Anglican churches have. Excuse my pun there. Bells and smells is what I referred to it as. And what they're advertising for a bell ringer. You know, one of the ministries in church. You read it in Ephesians, or do you? So they've got a bell ringer. Got this bell ringer. And this guy walks up to church and goes, I can ring a bell. And the vicar's like, awesome. Well, how long have you been doing this? Ages. He goes, well, come to the bell tower. Let's see what you're like. So the guy goes up there, and the vicar goes to hand him the old bell-pulling rope. And he goes, I don't need that. He goes, watch this. And he takes a massive run up. And he goes, boom, with his head. And the bell goes, boom. And the guy, and the vicar, and then he and he's like, whoa. And the vicar's like, and he goes, yeah, I'm fine. And the vicar's going, that's amazing. Do it again. So he runs up and he goes, do you know? And it's like, bang, and the bell goes, bang. And he's like, oh, you are amazing. You've got the job. So over a period of time, making the interviews, bang, this guy's whacking it. He's chinning this bell really big time, right? It's amazing. And then one day, guy comes to do his normal session and he takes a big run up to the bell and he goes, and as he does that, the bell gives way and he goes crashing through the floor, and unfortunately he's in motion by this point and there's only one way this is ending, and he's like, whoosh, whoosh, and down he goes and he's dead. Bit of a sad joke, isn't it? Police turn up, there's an inquiry going on, and they say to the vicar, what happened? He goes, well, he was just ringing the bell as always, like he does. And the guy goes, well, the police says, did you get his name? And he said, no, I didn't get his name, but his face rings a bell. Poor joke. You can keep that one. That's yours. So you've all had a good week? You've all had a good week? Me and the missus have had a good week. I sold our bed this week. I sold it. I didn't tell her. I traded it for a trampoline. I tell you what, that night she hit the roof. It was awful. Okay, that was the worst second awful joke. I went for one, two awful jokes. You can keep that one as well. The reason you're awful jokes is because, you know what? The world's awful sometimes, isn't it? Let's have a look at the first slide. You got it up there? You might not see it. There's Theresa May. No, she's not all by herself. Okay, some of you might disagree with that, but we're not here to cast aspersions on people personally. We're called to pray for our government, not run them down, right? So many times people are running the government down. Don't run them down, pray for them. But you see, the world's a mess. It's awful out there, isn't it? We've had 132 murders in the capital in 2018. That's an increase this year. Terrorism shot up by 38% since 2014. Nearly 3 million children from working families in the UK are living in poverty. That's in this country now. That's really bad, isn't it, when you're one of the richest nations in the world, but over 3 million children live below the poverty line right now. That's awful, isn't it? How does that happen? We watched the news this week and you would have seen Sri Lanka and all the terrible things that are going on there, you know, and then all the stuff, the Middle East. It's just awful, isn't it? The world is an awful mess. And it can seem crazy. It can seem a bit overwhelming sometimes. Sometimes I like watching the news, but sometimes I do wonder why I watch it. Because it makes me feel depressed. I'm like, oh, crumbs, what is going on with this world? And it's a mess out there. And you know, just all these things going on. And you, then your own life, it's not just the world, but there's your life, isn't there? Sometimes your health isn't very brilliant. You're like, oh Lord, this is what's going on, and then you find your finances are like up to there all of a sudden, and you're like wondering how you're going to get through the next month. That was us recently. You're wondering how you're going to do it. You haven't got to the end of the month yet, and you're out of money, and you're like, how are we going to do this, Lord? You find your car starts falling apart at the same time. Is anyone else happens to them? You know, just when you've got no money, your car falls apart. Your kids come back home saying they're going skiing in New Zealand next year. Can they have £1,000 deposit? You know what I'm talking about? All this happens at the same time, and then suddenly you look in the diary and you remember there's 4 birthdays coming up next week. And you're like, Lord, this isn't funny. And all these things start to happen. It's crazy. My daughter's now 13 and she's entered the world of social media. Oh, that's crazy as well. I caught her boyfriend out the other night. I say boyfriend, she pretends he's not, but I know he is, right? And what happens is he sent her this message. But he didn't sign it from his name. He signed it from this random name. And I thought, that doesn't look good. So watch your kids' phones. So she showed it to us because she was a bit worried. She's like, oh, look at this message. Look at this message. So I said, right, give me the phone. So anyway, I rang it. And I went, this kid went, hello? Like that. I went, stop sending messages like this. Suddenly the phone went, and the phone went dead. The next morning, she comes down, she goes, that was so-and-so. He says he's really sorry and he feels really bad that he sent that message now. And it wasn't even that bad, it's just the way he signed it. I happened to see him the next day. I don't know who he is, but he knew who I was somehow. And apparently my daughter said he was very sheepish and kept out of my way. I didn't even know who he was. The world's a mess. We've got to be careful what we're doing. This is crazy. And I realised the other week that apparently in the world at the moment, there's a big industry coming from men and makeup. How does that work? Men and makeup. I mean, what if we put war paint on? But that was for a different reason. But now there's a cosmetic industry for men and makeup. The world's gone crazy. I think the world's gone crazy. Some of you might go, I think men with makeup looks very nice. Maybe you do. But I don't think concealer on men works, especially if you've got a beard to go with it. Do you know, but apparently, this is the next industry. It's coming up. And then we've all got our deodorants and all that. That's one thing. That's okay, but grooming is going to a whole new level for men. They're going to walk around looking like models, which is a bad thing if you work on a building site. The world is going upside down and it's going crazy. But you know, this morning, I tried to think about what to bring to you, because it's all awful news, isn't it? And you know, we're fed up with awful news. And I thought of some fantastic titles that are out there. Sometimes you hear sermons or teachings and it's like the exponential growth of, or faith in the realm of the, or the line of the mountain of, and all these fantastic titles, which practically all mean the same thing. You're growing in God or you're not. Right? And sometimes we dress it all up in big fancy titles and big fancy words that we've read in the Bible because it sounds spiritual. And all we're saying is, Christian, let's grow with God and go for it. Or let's not do that anymore, let's do this. That's all we're saying. And we just don't say it simply. So my message to you this morning is really, really simple. It's 3 words. Are you ready for this? I hope you remember these 3 words. Is it up there? You can't see that, can you? It says, Jesus is King. Can you say that back to me?
Jesus is King.
Say it with conviction, come on.
Jesus is King.
That's the message this morning. If you get nothing more, well, you've heard, I've said, I'm going to go home now. Jesus is King. Say to the person next to you, Jesus is the King.
Jesus.
Amen. Listen to yourselves. Jesus is the King. Listen. Jesus is King of the UK government, right? He's King of the Middle East, is he not? He's King of every part of the world. So he's King over the schools your kids go to, the hospitals you go to, the offices you work in, the houses you live on, the streets you're in, every person, everything, from the blade of grass to the trees to the hills. Jesus is King. There is nothing that Jesus is not King over. He is the King. He's one government. It says in Isaiah, for unto us, this is the famous Christmas one, isn't it? For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, what?
Will be on his shoulders.
Don't worry about what you see on telly. There's a government on his shoulders, and it's pretty good. Will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace, there what? There will be no end. So don't be looking at in the world, because when Jesus returns, of his government and his peace, there will be no end. That's the end picture, isn't it? Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
So when you're tempted to look in on yourselves and look at the world and go, oh, woe is us, look up again and go, remember, Jesus is King. He's King, isn't he? He's King. And he tells us that he's King of heaven. He's King of heaven. Revelation, and where is it? I've lost my space. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is one heck of a tattoo. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus had a tattoo before you did. There you go. It is written on his thigh. He's King of heaven. He's King of the earth. He's King over everything that you see. Do you believe that? Sometimes we don't live like it, do we? We know it's true, but we don't believe it really. Well, we do, but we subconsciously don't really think it. Sometimes we have to stop and remind ourselves, whatever's going on, Jesus is King. Today, Jesus is King. Yesterday, Jesus was the King. Today, Jesus is the King. And you know when you wake up tomorrow, do you know what's going to be true?
Jesus
is still going to be the King when you wake up in the morning. The sun will come up again, glorious. Yesterday I thought I needed to invest in a boat. But today the sun came back out. Did it rain much here?
Yeah,
okay, I'm just checking. Manchester, blooming chucked it down. Always, I'm from the south, right? And it does rain sometimes, but not like up here. I mean, I'm surprised you haven't got web feet up here. Do you know what I mean? I grew up by the sea and I'm used to the water, but this is unreal. At least in the sea you can get out of it and get dry for a while. You know, you can't escape the stuff here, can you? And Jesus has all authority. He sits on a throne in heaven. It says this about him, doesn't it? He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Jesus is King. He sits on a throne. He sits in authority. He sits in power. He sits in his glory. And nothing and nobody can change the fact that Jesus is King. He can't be challenged. He can't be rivaled. He can't be ousted. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. Whatever you say, think, or do, whatever the world tells you, Jesus is King. That is true, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is King. And he's a King that has authority. He said so himself. What did he say about himself? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to someone else. Who did he say it was given to? Him. Him. He has authority. He has all authority. It belongs to him. He tells us that. And not only does he tell us that he has authority, but guess what? He gives you that authority. Listen, this is a challenge to leadership. So many leaders try and hold it to themselves. Jesus was a leader that gave it away. That's the mark of true leadership, when you cannot hold on to it and you can let go of it. Jesus took his authority, he took his power, and he didn't think, oh, this, because I'm the only one that can do it. He said to his guys in Mark, now you go and you make disciples, you preach the gospel, you heal the sick, you deal with the demons. And he gave them power and authority to go and do it. He's king. And you know what? Because if you know, who knows him? If you're a Christian, put your hand up, seriously. If you are a Christian this morning, you have the same power and the same authority because Jesus has given it to you. Do you believe that? It's not something you just read about in the Bible. It's really true. The disciples went out and they preached the gospel. What they saw was people got healed and demons came out of people. That is not for the super apostles. That's not just for one or two people in the Bible. That's not just for a few church leaders. That's for you. It's true. Because Jesus is king and he lives with you. The Spirit dwells within you. And therefore you have power and you have authority to do the things that Jesus said you can do. It's not for the super elite, okay? Which is good, because I'm not a super elite. In fact, I'm the worst of the worst people. I didn't know how to lead a church sometimes. With awful jokes like I tell. Sometimes I'm wondered how I managed to lead a church, but I do. Because God put me there. I tried to run away from it, by the way, because most of the time when God calls you to do something, the first thing you say to God is,
no.
No. You say no to it, because you're like, I'm not doing that, God. That's impossible. But you know what? When God tells you to do something impossible, it means you're on the right track. Because if God told you to do something you could do, you wouldn't need faith to do it, would you? You wouldn't need power. You wouldn't need authority in God to do it if you could do it by your own natural strength. So if God's calling you to do something and you're going, no way, God, that's impossible. I don't even know where, how, look at little me. I'm going to tell you now, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. The bewildered, I don't know what I'm doing look is a good place to start if God is calling you. Because it means you're ready to get on your knees and go, okay, God, where's this going? How's it going to be? And God will take you on an amazing journey. I can tell you that because it's true. It's true. I grew up in a council estate down south. I was one of four brothers. My dad was a... what did he do? He worked on the docks, that's it. We lived by the sea, grew up by the sea. He worked on the docks. My mum stayed at home. We went to a fairly nice church. Half the mums did not want their kids to play with us. Why? Because we were the estate kids. And they said it. They said that to my mum once. One of them said, I don't really want my children with your boys. I'm worried about their influence. Okay? We grew up on a housing estate. We were nobodies. I need a church now. How does that happen? How does God do that? I didn't leave school with loads of qualifications. I've got some now, by the way, because you should do well at school, kids. All right? If you're in here, do well at school. Don't do what I did. Do well at school. Learn what you can while it's free, for one start. Do it in school. But what I'm saying is, it's cheaper that way, and there's less pressure on your life. But, listen, if God has called you to do something, because he's king, you have power, you have authority to do it, because the king himself has told you to do it. And as we see from the disciples, if he hadn't sent them out, they couldn't have done it. But because he said, go and do it, they could do it, right? If Jesus is calling you to something this morning, step out and go and do it, because he's told you to go and do it. And if God tells you to do it, he backs the horse he bets on. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not saying God bets, he doesn't. What I'm saying is God only goes with the ones he knows are going to do what he said. So if he's called you to do it because he's king, go forward and do it. Jesus is king. Some of us today need to remember that. Some of us don't live like Jesus is king. Today, some of us live like depression is king in my life. I am a depressive person. I suffer from anxiety. I'm this, I'm that. You are labeling yourself something that the Bible says is not true. If Jesus is king, he's king over your life, not those things. Don't allow your circumstances to determine what you do for God. Because Jesus is the king, not your circumstance. Your emotions are not king. Your feelings are not king. The circumstance, poor health does not have to be king in your life. Jesus is king in your life. And today, some of us, we need to step back from ourselves and go, I need to step into what God has called me to step into and stop making excuses as to why I can't do things. Because if Jesus is king and he's told you to do it, guess what? You can do it. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Some of you believe it. I love it when the church believes it. Do we believe it?
Yes.
We both believe it because the world needs us. What do you want the church? When people come to the church, what are they going to find? A group of Christians who are surviving their life, getting by? Is that what God said? I have come that you may have life and get through it. Is that what Jesus said? I have come that you have had life and life to the full. Some of us are not living in the fullness of what God has said because we've allowed other things in our life to dictate to us what is king instead of remembering who is king and what he says about us. I want to challenge you this morning. If Jesus is talking to you, do something about it, because the king commissions you and you can do it, right? Jesus is king. Amen. Jesus is king, and you know what? We're not the only ones that believe that. You know that? There are millions over the world that proclaim Jesus is king. There have been millions over time and eternity past that have been angels, all sorts, that acknowledge who Jesus is. He's the king. You know, back in Jesus' day, we've just had Easter, haven't we? And just back in Easter's day, before Easter happens, the main event, Jesus rocks into a town riding a what?
Donkey.
A donkey. Of all the things to ride into town on, a donkey. That's like you rocking up to meet the Queen in a battered old Ford Fiesta. You know what I'm talking about. Chitty, chitty, bang, bang. All the guns come out on you because they think you've just shot somebody. That's what it's like. God rocks up on a donkey. And what happens when he rocks up on a donkey? What do people start doing? Hail, King! Hail King Jesus, hail the King, Hosanna, Hosanna, meaning God is he's with us, hail Hosanna, Hosanna, hail the King, and they start shouting, and they start roaring, and kids are running up and down with palm leaves and throwing them on the floor, and stuff like that, and the donkey's walking over, probably terrified of all the noise, and they're shouting, Jesus, 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 they're shouting his name, and they're running up and down, Jesus. And guess what happens when that happens? The authorities around start getting nervous. You know why? Because the king's come into town. The king's come into town. And when the king's in town, the authorities get worried about it. Isn't it true? Listen, if Jesus is king, when we start declaring that, as they did on that day, the authorities around us start to take notice of what is going on. They do. It's true. The spiritual authorities and powers that you think are out there, that are out there, they know when Jesus is around. They feel his presence. When Jesus is in the town and people start declaring his praise, all sorts of crazy things can happen. People get excited when they start shouting Jesus. Listen, when you come to church sometimes, who came this morning feeling like they didn't want to worship? Honestly. Yeah, one. Anyone else? I did. I had a bit of a barney with a missus. That means an argument for southern speak, right? And, you know, you come to church and you're like, ooh, robbing me of my joy. You know the feeling I'm talking about? You don't understand God. Listen, you just need to shout Jesus King. You just need to start declaring that you love him. You just need to start declaring that you believe him. You just need to start declaring who he is. And I can tell you what happens. When that happens, you start to get excited about the Jesus who you worship. It's true. The next time you're feeling low and you don't want to do it, just go, you know what, God? I don't give a stuff how I feel. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to worship you because right now I don't feel great, but you are awesome and you are amazing. And see what happens to you. You'll find your spirit will begin to rise. I don't know why we have this thing in church that we need 5 songs before we're in the presence of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? We need a few warm-up songs. The Christians are getting excited on the front row. Do you know what I mean? I'm a City fan, sorry about that, right? But it's true, we're going to win the Premiership. Just putting it out there. I know you're all Blackburn fans, right?
Burnley.
Well, there you go. Anyway, let's not have politics here. I've been to some City games, right, and I'm telling you now, passion does not look like this. Good, well done, Aguero. That was awesome. De Bruyne, what a great guy. I'm telling you now, when I've watched passion at a football match, it's like, ah! And you're like, some of the language, I'm not saying that here, but some of the language. And then I come to church and we're like praising Jesus the King, and Christians are going, I'm so excited. I might get more dignified than this. It's like, flipping heck. If Jesus is king, isn't he worth out and about? Isn't he worth getting excited? I'm getting excited now. Isn't he worth getting excited because of who he is? I'm telling you now, just go for it. Just lift up your faith muscles and go, yeah, yeah, because they did. When Jesus rode past on a donkey, everyone was going, yeah. And the were going, what the heck is going on out there? And some people were going, who is this? Who is this? And some people were going, wow, the king. I bet the atmosphere was awesome that day. I bet the ice cream sellers sold loads. people hear Jesus on donkey song like what that day. You can imagine throwing money there, a suitcase on the side, can't you? Free donkey with every ice cream. You know what it'd be? A wild day. Am I right? Listen, when we declare that Jesus is King, let me turn the page now. I'll get my breath back. It's all right to be passionate about church and Jesus, okay? Permission granted, yeah? You can do it. Don't need people to wind you up about Jesus. Just tell him, just praise him, right? Just praise him. And I'm telling you now, it'll be the difference between a dead church and a live church. When you get excited about Jesus, you will find this will happen in your church. As you come in and you're like, yeah! You know what can happen? You're going to see more people coming to church. And do you know why you're going to do that? Because Jesus said if his name was lifted up, what would happen? He would draw people to himself. If you want to grow, get worshipping him, get praising him, get declaring who he is, and Jesus will do the rest all by himself, which is draw people to himself, because he's good at that. Who thinks Jesus is good at that? You're only here because what? Because Jesus drew you here. Let's not pretend. Some of us like to think I'm not as bad as the people out there. Without God in your life, you're awful. You're dead. You're disgusting to God, just like they are right now if they don't know him. You're not any better than them just because you grew up in a certain place or a time. You are no different to the lost without Jesus in your life. God thinks the same about you. But you know what? He loves you the same. He loves you the same. Whoever you are, God loves you the same. It doesn't matter what you are, what you do, wherever you're from. God loves you the same because he's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When we start to praise him, people get drawn into what is going on. As that crowd started to praise Jesus on the side of the road, can't you imagine that other people were walking on the next street going, what's all that commotion? What's all that commotion? What's all the cheering? Let's go and have a look. Come on, Johnny. Come over with me and pull him down the street. And suddenly people were getting drawn around to see what was going on. That's what happens when we start praising God. People start drawing in, going, what's going on? We, in our church, we meet in a college. We have got a building, but we can't get into it. It's too small. So we meet in the gym of this college. There's about 150 of us or whatever it is. And we have quite loud, passionate worship. Because it's good to have fun in church, right? Have fun in church. Do you know what we've seen recently? Outside, there's a whole load of footballers playing football because it's a sixth form college with a sports facility, and that's what we're using. So, of course, it's hired out as well for people doing football and sports. The other week, a few weeks in a row now, one of the mums and dads has been coming into church for a cup of coffee at the end. And they were like saying, we just heard all the noise and the commotion, and we were intrigued. And they're coming in. You know, when you start making a noise, people begin to notice what happens. Listen, when you start making a noise about Jesus and declaring that he's king, walls are going to start tumbling down. Do you know that? The walls in your own life that you have built up, that others have put around you, that society has, whatever it's done, if you start declaring that Jesus is king, those walls start to go and they start to fall. Read Jericho. What happened there? They praised God. It was the weirdest thing that anyone's ever been told to do. Don't get your guns out. Don't get your swords out. Just walk around and sing Shine, Jesus, Shine at the top of your voice, basically, is what happened. And they started going, Shine. They didn't, because that was an awful song. And even then they thought it was awful. That's how old it is. But they were singing this song and they were going, Jesus! But they were going Yahweh instead, because he was known as Yahweh then. Yahweh! And as they did that and they started declaring praise, the enemy got tightened up in his little heart in Jericho, getting more and more panicked, hiding down. Because when you praise God, the enemy hates it, and he gets frightened by that. And what happened is, the wall came down. Victory came when people worshipped God and declared who he is. When we worship God, there was another man. There was another man in the New Testament, and he was on the side of the street where he'd sat for years and years and years, stuck in the same place. Money, no food, begging for his life. He couldn't move. He had to be put there. He was reliant on people. You know people like that? Not necessarily begging on streets. Stuck. Unable to move, reliant on everybody else within their life. You know people like that? What did this guy do? He hears. He hears one day that somebody's in town. And all of a sudden, Jesus, top of his voice, and people are going, shut up. Shut up! That's what they're saying to him, and they're kicking him. Be quiet! He's not interested in you. You know what? When you start shouting God, guess what the enemy does? He says, shut up. He says, shut up when you start praising God. He says things like to you, God's not listening. Why are you shouting? He says things like, God's not going to take notice of you. are you anyway? Stop it. Give up. The enemy will tell you. Your own mind sometimes will say, what's the point? But this guy heard all this negativity. The crowd were pushing him down, but he knew who was in town. And he's going, Jesus! Top of his voice. And guess what happens? Jesus came right past him. God stopped. Can you just imagine that for a minute? Just take the man bit of Jesus out, just for a moment, because he was man. The God of eternity, eternal God who made everything, as Steve was saying earlier, this huge, mighty being, God, just wrecking the stage, stops for a moment in time to this man, because that man was going, Jesus! He stopped God in his tracks. How awesome is that? If you lift up Jesus as King, who knows what you might do in the presence of God? If this man could stop God in his tracks that very day to respond to him, because he would not be quiet, he would not bow down to them. No, you're not insignificant. He's not listening. He's not bothered. You're not going to go anywhere. He refused to believe it. And because he refused to believe it and had faith in Jesus, the King, and he declared it and he shouted it and he knew it, God stopped right there that day. And what happened to him? He got up and he danced down that street. He was a new man. He was never, ever the same again. God stopped in that man's life because he was prepared to go, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care how embarrassing it is. God, 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 God. And God stopped. God heard him. So I want to tell you this. If you're struggling this morning, if there are things in your life, if there's things you're struggling through, I want to challenge you. When we come back to worship, I don't know. Even when you're next to, I want to challenge you to do this. Just start shouting his name. Just start shouting his name. Just declare who he is, because when you start doing that, powerful things will begin to happen. And don't be surprised if the enemy comes at you and says, be quiet. He's not listening, or you don't. He's not interested, or your mind says there's no point. I don't even feel like it. Go for it. Jesus was stopped in his tracks. Jesus is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Amen. What is Jesus? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Colossians, I don't know if you'll see it. It might come up in red again. It tells you something about this King. Is he coming up? Colossians, is it there? Colossians 1:15. There it is. Let's read about this King. Let's read a bit more about him. The Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. This is amazing stuff. The firstborn over all of creation, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. This is Jesus who we're talking about. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. If you're having a faithless day, read a passage like that. That is who Jesus is. That's a little summary of the majestic power and glory of the person we call Jesus and who he actually is. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? It tells us here he is the image of the invisible God. What did Jesus say about himself when he was on the earth? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Blasphemy. Don't say that, Jesus. You're in the Middle East, they will kill you. If you've seen me, he said, you have seen God. He didn't shirk from it. He was quite clear about exactly who he was. He's always been the King. He's never not been the King. There was a little heresy back in the early days of church history where people believed that because he came from the Father, somehow he was created by the Father. But he wasn't. The Bible tells us in John, it starts off, he was there in the beginning. He was the Word. He was God. Jesus has always been King. There has never been a time in eternity past or eternity to come when Jesus has not been the King. And I use that phrase in the future, and you don't think it hasn't happened yet. How do you know? Because God doesn't live in our time and space. God created our time and space, but he lives outside of it. Outside of you and me and the world and all the things that have happened in the world history and the universe is God outside of it. God holds it all together in his hands. How big is God? He's flipping awesome. He's a king. He's always been there. And he's going to be there when you die one day. Imagine that in heaven. Imagine what it's going to be like to see him actually with his tattoo and everything else. Imagine what it's going to be like to see Jesus. Can you just picture that just for a moment? You can't, but imagine if you could. And I'll tell you something. If you like quiet, reflective worship, heaven's not going to be a good place for you. It's not going to be a good place. Because as far as I now know, angels are up there. And what are they doing right now? As I said earlier, what are they doing? They surround God going what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the... And they keep singing it. And they keep saying it. Why? Because that's all they can do. That's all they can do in response to the presence of God. Imagine how many angels there are. Probably countless millions of the things. People, persons, beings. Praising God. Imagine how thunderous that noise is. Now times that with all the multitudes of heaven that the Bible says will be there when the days finally come. And imagine the noise it's going to be like in heaven where people are going, Jesus! Across the eternal abide. And God's on the throne in the middle, lapping all the glory. Imagine the noise. So if you like quiet, reflective stuff, get over it now. Move on. Because when you're dead, it's going to be pretty loud up there. It's going to be one huge praise fest of praise and glory and majesty. And Jesus will be stood in the middle of us all, laughing all the glory, all the honour. And we'll be looking at him going, Jesus is King! King! And we'll be proclaiming it. And the angels will be looking on going, whoa, look at all these people that he saved. And they'll be even more in awe of God. I mean, imagine what it's going to be like. Just if you can picture it, just for a moment, a brief moment in your mind of what eternity to come is going to be like. Jesus is King. He reigns supremely in heaven and on earth, okay? There is no authority that is above his authority. Some people think there is. Well, you don't understand, Stuart. I suffer with this in my life and I've always had that in my life. No! There is no authority above his authority. There isn't. And if you think differently, I'm sorry. And I know it's easier said than done. I'm not belittling these things. But they are not God. They are not God. God is God. And he is on a throne in heaven above all authority and all power. And every title that can be given has been given to him. He is the King. There's only one Lord in your life, surely. It's got to be him. If other things rob you of your joy of God and take you back from him and take that out of you, my question is, what have you allowed to become king in your life that isn't Jesus? What master have you come under that's dragging the life out of you? Because the master I serve called Jesus does not drag life out of you. He fills you with it. He fills you with joy. He fills you with passion. He fills you with faith. He fills you with the whole, when you're knackered and you think, Lord God, why am I doing this? This is like a nightmare. I could be doing something a lot simpler. And God says, no, I've called you. Keep going. And you get filled again. Okay, God, I'll keep going. I'll keep going. I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to keep going. Because that's what God is like. He fills you with life. He doesn't drain you. If you're knackered and drained right now and you're feeling like giving up, ask yourself, what have I bowed down to that isn't Jesus? Because if it's not Jesus, something is taking and sucking the life and joy out of your very being. And that is not what Jesus does. When people left Jesus physically, they were never the same again. They were empowered. They got off the street and walked. They opened their eyes and they saw. When people saw Jesus, when the disciples got with Jesus, they had the authority and the power and the guts to go and pray for the demonic, and it did as it was told. That's what happens when people are in the presence of God. That's, who wants that kind of life? I want that kind of life. I really want that kind of life. I don't move in it. I want to see it. He's king of everything. He's king of everything visible. Every piece of ground out on that street out there, do you know what? Do you know who it belongs to? Jesus. If you don't praise him, guess what? That will. Jesus gets into a boat. Destroyed the stage. Jesus gets into a boat. And he's blowing a gale. Now, I said to you, I grew up by the sea. I know what a big storm looks like. I've seen waves when they are going absolutely mental. And I'm telling you now, it's not the place to be on a little boat. It's a horrible place. My brother's a surfer. He goes surfing. He went out on a Force 8 once, which a Force 10 will sink a ferry. Right, he was out on a Force 8. That's how big the waves were. And it nearly drowned. He nearly died because he thought he could handle it. And in the end, him and his buddies had to come, almost got dragged back to shore but they were going to die. They thought they were going to die in the sea. By the way, he's still surfing. It didn't stop him. He just waited for a slightly calmer day, like a 4-6 or something stupid like that. Mental people go in the sea, right? But Jesus gets into a boat. It's blowing one, big time. The boat's all over the place. So the disciples who are experienced fishermen, right, they're not afraid of the sea. You've got to remember that. We read it like they would be a bit seasick when they're in the boat. They are experienced fishermen. Has anyone seen Trawler, the Fisherman the Trawler program on telly? Trawler men, have you seen that? You've seen the big waves they go. They're those kind of guys. They're used to massive seas. They're used to high waves. They're not seasick. But even these guys were going, "Lord, we're going to drown, please, please." And they woke Jesus up. Where's Jesus? What's he doing? He's asleep. When you need God the most, he's asleep. Anyone feel like God's sometimes asleep when they're trying to call him? When you're stuck in a storm in your life and you think, "God, what are you doing?" And you're asleep. And the disciples are going, "God, wake up!" And they shout name Jesus. And they're shouting, they must be shouting because it would have been pretty loud on that boat. And they were going, "Jesus, wake up!" And Jesus is like, "Jesus!" And they get hold of him. And what does he do? Calm. And then it says the disciples were terrified. No offense. You read that sometimes, go, "Oh, lack of faith, terror, disciples." If I just saw Jesus do that on a very stormy day where I grew up and suddenly Jesus went, the sea stopped, I'd need a new pair of trousers. I would. Because I'd be thinking, what the heck? Did he just do? I was going to give him an arm wrestle later. I don't think I will. I've just seen what he did to the sea. I'm no match for an arm wrestle with Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? He controls it. If you don't praise him, it will. You know that. Even Jesus said about the rocks once, if we don't, the rocks themselves would cry out. The earth was designed to worship and praise God. You were. If you come to church and you're not prepared to do it, well, even the chairs will in the end. Because everything that's being created on this earth, mountains, sea, everything, is all about him, and it praises him. Everything, you and I were designed to acknowledge that Jesus is what?
King.
That even the creation acknowledges Jesus is King. It's Lord. It knows who it is. You see, and everything in heaven and earth is subject to Jesus. And one day, it'll be reconciled to himself. And you know what that means? That means if it's not been reconciled to him, what will happen to it? He'll get rid of it. He'll push it into eternity away from himself. He'll cast it out into the darkness, into the weeping and gnashing of teeth, where some of the angels that disobeyed are now living. If you belong to Jesus, everything that belongs to Jesus, excuse me for spitting, everything that belongs to Jesus, the earth and the heavens are going to be renewed. All those who believed in the name of Jesus and acknowledged him as King will be brought under him in the final day together, and it will live with him, with himself. Anyone and anything that did not acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, as King, will be pushed away forever into darkness. We call that hell. That's where it's going. Because God will reconcile everything to himself. That's what this King does. Jesus reconciles everything that he has got to himself. Yeah? Jesus is our King. My question to you this morning, if you don't know him, why not? Why not? Well, I don't believe in him. Okay. Why not? Oh, I've never seen God. Well, nor have I. But I know he's real. I've never seen the wind, but I've stood in it the other day and I felt it. I felt God in my life. I know he's real. I know he's Lord because I've seen the evidence in my life. I've seen what happens when I make Jesus my Lord. I've seen what's happening in my life. So I know it's true. It's not just a feeling I have. I really know it's true. And if you don't know Jesus, you can know him today. You can come to him and you can be reconciled, as he calls it, to himself. You can have that assurance that one day when you finally leave this world, that it's not the end. That you're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. And just when you've been there forever and you can't imagine what that looks like, you'll look into the future again and it'll still be going on forever and ever and ever. And you'll be with God. And it's going to be an awesome place. But I tell you now, Christians, if there's a Christian, that life we've been given doesn't start the day you die. Some of us live like it. We're getting to the end. I'm nearly there, Can't wait to go, Listen, live in the reality of life now. Because God made you, when you became a Christian, your eternity started right there at that decision. That's your eternal life. That's where it began. When you said to Jesus, "Come into my life," that's where your eternity in God began. Your eternity was already set before that. You were going to hell potentially, but you reckon you brought Jesus, you brought Jesus into your life. That eternal destination was changed, and from then on, you are now living in the life of God. And when you die, all you're physically doing is leaving this world and going on to carry on in the next one with Him. So don't live your life like I'm surviving to the end. No one's surviving. God did not ask us to be survivors. He asked us to be conquerors, to be champions. He asked us to live like we belong to Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything is subject to Him, and He is God over everything, and He's God over this church. No, I'm nearly done now. You'll be pleased to know. You'll be pleased to know. I'll be pleased to know. Sometimes I know for myself as a church leader, you get worried about the church. Where was so-and-so on Sunday? I heard they were going to another church, and oh, what's happened here? What's happened there? And what are we going to do about this? And how are we going to do that? And you get worried. Some of us get worried about church stuff. But listen, the church doesn't belong to us, does it? This church is not my church. Sorry, this is not Steve's church. My church is not my church. I don't own the church. I'm not its Lord. I'm not its Saviour. I'm just a Wally that was asked to lead it. But the church belongs to Jesus. And I'm telling you now, from what I read at the end, He hasn't failed in building His church. So you haven't got to worry about this church. Listen, we're not here to save people. You know that. You don't save anybody. Give up trying to save people. God saves people. Your job is to bring people to Jesus and watch what He will do in their life. That's the place of the church, to bring people to Jesus and say, look at this King. Look how fantastic He is. If you give your life to Him, it's going to be awesome. And when you do that and God opens their eyes, they come into the kingdom of God, and that's without you. No one in this room got saved because you were good enough. You know that, don't you? You're not good enough to know God. I'm not good enough to know God. But Jesus is King, and He decided in His wisdom and His godliness and His understanding and His whatever, He decided to love us and show us grace and show us mercy and show us life. And He chose to love us despite us. Nobody gets saved because they're good enough. You get saved because God is good enough. Jesus was good enough to go to the cross and lay down His life on it. This King was good enough to pay the price of our sin with His own life. And because He did that and He's good enough, it's good enough for you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is our King. And as I said, whatever's true of Jesus as King is now true of you. Listen, Jesus reigns in life, does He not? Because He conquered sin and death, and He now lives. If He reigns in life, you reign in life. Jesus sits on a throne in heaven, and guess what? If you belong to Him, you also will be seated with Him in heavenly places. It's true. You've got rewards coming that are going to be awesome. He reigns in death. Listen, we don't have to be afraid of dying because we know where we're going. Yeah, some people are afraid to die. We don't have to be afraid of dying, because in the end, it's good. It's good. And He's building His church. And guess what? You and me get taken on for the journey. Listen, Christians, God's not here to build up your life, okay? He's not here to attend to your every need and every hang-up that you have. God is here to build His kingdom, and you get drawn into building His kingdom with Him. And as you get built into His kingdom and you move with Him in His kingdom, guess what He does in your life? He sorts you out. He sorts you out as you align yourself with Him and His purposes and His kingdom. And when you do that, God begins to sort your life out as well. It's not about you, it's about Him. God is interested, He loves us, but He's not about fixing your daily problems. He's about building the kingdom of God, about bringing it all to a conclusion at the end, and you and me are on a journey with Him. We're kingdom people. Are you a kingdom person? We're kingdom people. We're not for ourselves. When you became a Christian, you effectively said, I don't own myself anymore. I'm nothing to do with me anymore. I have no rights over my being. When you became a Christian, what you said is, I sign my life over to Jesus now. He's effectively killed it on the cross. He's made me a new being. I don't exist anymore. I belong to Jesus, and my life is His. So when He says do something, guess what? It's His to say to do it with. It's not yours anymore. We just have to say, yes, Lord, if you say so. So let's not think that it's about us anymore, because it's not about us, it's about Him. His life is your life. Your life is now in Him. When God looks at you, what does He see? He sees the Son. And when He sees the Son, He says He is pleased with it. And you know what? He's glorious. He has a crown because He's a King. And when you die, guess what you're going to receive? You're going to receive a crown. You're going to receive a crown in heaven. God's going to say to you, well done, good, faithful servant. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is our King. I'm finished now. Can we just put the Colossians verse back on? We're going to read the Colossians verse together, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm done. Is that all right? Is it back up there? Let's read this together, because it's truth, and truth is what sets you free. Truth is what makes your life different. Let's ready. Let's read it together. So the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Isn't that a great King? What is Jesus? He's King. Lord, I want to thank you that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords. I want to thank you that you sit on a throne in heaven. Lord, there is no one like you. There is nothing like you, Jesus. And Lord, I for one want to get in line with you. I want to live my life in submission to your rule, to your authority, to your power. And I believe that when I do that, Lord, your kingdom will come, your will be done. And Lord, we will see God do amazing things amongst us. And I believe that. And I pray your blessing on this church, Lord. I pray this will be a place where people come together. The presence of God is powerful as people come together, submitted to you, Jesus, with one heart, with one purpose, for you, your glory, your majesty, your goodness. And I pray that you will fire up hearts in this church, Lord. I pray for those who have allowed things to become king in their life that is not you. Lord, I pray in faith they say, I do not believe that anymore. I renounce that in the name of Jesus, and I proclaim Jesus is king over my depression. Jesus is king over my finances. Jesus is king over my health. Jesus is king over my family and my friends. Jesus is king over my job. Jesus is king over this church, over the circumstances in it and everything I'm about. And I proclaim him as king, and I will only bow to his authority and his way. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.